So lately, I've gone through a decluttering phase. I've moved a lot in my life. In fact, I'm in my 31st residence in my entire life. So I've moved 30 times. And there are boxes that I keep moving that I haven't even looked into in years. And so I decided last month to begin going through all these seminary materials, and I went deep into reading all of these binders that I had for each semester I was at Starr King. That was over 15 years ago, and I have been trekking around these boxes of binders since then. So, as I looked through at all of the readings I have, I began to delve deeper again into three areas: my visit to Transylvania, Franck David, and William Ellery Channing, who you will all learn about if you don't know. I received a scholarship from the Balazs Scholar Program to spend 5 weeks in Transylvania in 2013 to stay with Unitarian ministers who had previously visited Starr King on their own scholarships. It brought back so many memories. In the spring of 2013, I had an epiphany. As I returned to the United States, watching the clouds drift by, as I looked out of the window of the plane, I said to myself, "Everyone, at least all UUs, need to go to Transylvania at least once in their lives." I had just spent 5 weeks moving through the cities and countryside of that part of Romania that used to be a part of Hungary. With my newfound zest for our denomination and its people, I couldn't stop talking about this visit for weeks. I loved all that I experienced and learned there. I was not born Unitarian Universalist. In fact, I'm only 18 years old in this faith, so I feel like I have a lot of catching up to do. When I won this opportunity to go visit ministers in Transylvania that had previously attended my seminary, Starr King School for the Ministry in Berkeley, I was a bit apprehensive. I had spent a couple of months previously trying to learn Hungarian and hadn't been too successful. So to begin with, I was afraid of the language barrier. I also felt so new to Unitarianism that I wasn't sure I could converse theologically with the ministers I would be staying with. Upon my arrival, I quickly discovered that neither of those things mattered. The Transylvanian hospitality I encountered was warm, inviting, and generous. The most impressive part of my trip was how much these cousins of ours went out of their way to accommodate a stranger. I had never met any of the family members in these homes I stayed in until I actually arrived. And then I discovered that children were displaced from their bedrooms so that I could have privacy, that meals with families that barely had enough to feed themselves were including me in all of their meals. Whether we ate at home or out at restaurants, my money was refused. Households that held cows in their barns for milk, chickens in the yard for eggs and meat, households that were abundant in love and deficient in finances somehow found the resources to treat me fully as the guest they wished me to be. This was Transylvanian Unitarian hospitality at its finest. It still brings tears to my eyes. In the year 2013, when I went, the current gas rates in Romania were over $4 in converted dollars per liter. There are 3.78 liters to a gallon, so they were paying back then over $15 per gallon to drive their cars. Then, I don't know what it might be like now. Needless to say, there were many a donkey or a horse that would pull their carts and plows, for they could not afford the machinery we so commonly use. The ministers I traveled with drove to other churches, as most had two or three churches assigned to them from the bishop, which they still have as their polity. And every Sunday they easily preached once in each church, so they drove the countryside often. The bishop that year had to make budget cuts, and the ministers were assigned even more duties than they previously had. Their cars were old and beginning to rust or need repairs, and they would fix them to the best of their ability themselves if they could. They repaired their own homes, and many a church had cracks in the walls and ceilings with paint peeling off in layers, and yet all dwellings were pristine and cared for. They showed me these things in their lives with dignity, not with shame, but as a matter of fact, part of their lives. Their love for Unitarianism was the impetus for all the work they did. These ministers spent their days visiting congregants, driving around, each stop usually including an offer of palinka, the local alcohol that they made themselves, and pastries, and a refusal would be seen as undignified and disrespectful. So I watched and sipped, and I listened to the best of my ability, and I learned about these people, of which half of my genes are also theirs. I'm half Hungarian. Their churches were hundreds of years old, one even being built in the 1400s that I visited. Their traditions were as old. Every Sunday morning, they held worship with the women sitting on one side of the church and the men on the other. As a guest, I sat in the middle. When they received communion, the men went first, and the women only after all the men had partaken. What would happen, I asked a minister one day, if you offered your congregation the option of sitting anywhere they wanted? Oh, that would never happen, he said. You can't undo over 400 years. They would refuse to dishonor this tradition. Can you imagine our congregations here dividing our seating arrangements by gender? That's the first major difference between them and us. Over 400 years of belief in one God, in Hungarian they say, Egyas Isten, God is one. They read scriptures in their services every Sunday and believe that Jesus is indeed a prophet with great words of wisdom to teach them. They partake of communion four times per year, on Easter, Pentecost, the Transylvanian Thanksgiving Day, and Christmas. Their faith is strong and needs to be to face the oppression that they face on a daily basis. In most towns, the Orthodox Church, which has been chosen to be the official church of Romania, receives grants and money easily to repair their churches and roads, and the Hungarians and the Unitarian churches can't even get the potholes fixed on the roads that lead to their churches. They are usually refused funding. For decades before his death in 1989, Nicolae Ceaușescu ruled the country with the intent of exterminating all Hungarians. He encouraged mixed marriages to dilute their ethnicity and moved many into cities from the countryside, forcing them to live in substandard housing, buildings some of which had hundreds of apartments in them. Some had to literally go underground to practice their faith during this time. Their electricity and Wi-Fi is still spotty. Some evenings they have none of either, and they have candles at the ready frequently. They come from a long line of historic martyrs, many of which we don't know their names, people who died during this reign from the torture and oppression of Ceaușescu. The first Unitarian martyr in Transylvania was Franck David, David Francis in English. He was the court preacher, and myth has it that after one of the debates that were held between Trinitarian and Unitarian scholars, David was so impassioned that he leapt upon a rock and spoke in the village center for an entire afternoon, preaching the doctrine of Unitarianism so emphatically that he converted the entire town. King Janos Sigismund, King John in English, was the ruler at that time in Hungary and Transylvania both, and so ordered the country to have a state religion of Unitarianism, one that would include a tolerance of belief for everyone, no matter what their belief was. It was at the Diet of Torda that David convinced the king to officially create the state religion in 1568. Unfortunately, it only lasted less than 3 years, as King John passed away suddenly, and the subsequent king reclaimed Catholicism for the state religion. This was the only time in history that Unitarianism was a state religion. David was thrown into jail for heresy at the top of a hill known as the Citadel, and there he was tortured, starved, and died, his body never found. Today there is a shrine dedicated to him there, and every November 15th, the Unitarians conduct a pilgrimage up the hill to the Citadel to pay homage and to pray. In the United States, we don't have any Unitarian martyrs. We have not suffered the religious oppression that our forefathers and historic Transylvanian ancestors have to that degree. We have had freedom of religion here for the most part, but it has been an uphill climb for us to practice our faith here. It is not, quote, the popular religion in our country, unquote. Joseph Priestley is regarded as bringing Unitarianism to America. He is one of the founders of Unitarianism in England and brought about the heretical idea of toleration and the free exchange of ideas into religious understanding. When he was burned out of his home and his church in England, and it became increasingly dangerous to live there, he emigrated to America in 1794. Joseph Priestley was not only interested in the Enlightenment of the time, but he is credited with discovering several gases, particularly oxygen. As a scientist who also isolated within his own scientific community for some of his own views. While still in England, he published a volume entitled, okay, this is very long, A History of Early Opinions Concerning Jesus Christ, compiled from original writers, proving that the Christian church was at first Unitarian. That's the title. When he settled here, he preached a series of sermons in Philadelphia, which led to the founding of the First Unitarian Church in Philadelphia, which is still there and active today. He had successfully brought his views to the New World. So as we look at our past, we can see how different our faith is today. Many of us distance ourselves from the Christianity of our past, never really wanting to say the word God or discuss the teachings in the Bible. We have the freedom to do that now. But we are so different from our ancestors regarding how we see our faith and how we practice it. We are a tolerant denomination, accepting those who believe in God or even Jesus, to those who don't believe in any kind of divine power. We accept pagans, agnostics, believers, and non-believers, atheists, humanists, Christians, Jews, Muslims, Buddhists, and Hindus, to name just a few. On the surface, we don't appear to resemble our roots at all. And to be honest, when I was there, they did find it difficult to accept our open-mindedness of LGBTQ+ communities. They hadn't quite gotten there yet, as we have here, but maybe 10 years later they have. Our differences can be seen as cultural or generational or geographical, but I discovered that we have much more in common than different. There is a fierce defiance of oppression in our beliefs we hold together. They are willing to die for their faith and their ethnicity rather than be forced to change or disband it. There is an honor and a deep abiding love for their history and their faith that profoundly impressed me. As individuals in our faith here in this country, do we have anything we are willing to die for? What is it that we hold so sacred, that we hold so valuable, that we would give our lives for it? Is there something like that for you? What value do you hold so sacred you would sacrifice your life for it? Not a family member, not a close friend, but a value that you would die for. I know for me, it does include, if I were told I could not practice Unitarian Universalism here in the open, I would do whatever I could to fight and maybe die to keep that right. If I were told that I would have my freedom taken away to practice my religion, to light a chalice as a symbol of my faith, I would defy that and die for that. I would fight to keep that right. We are increasingly seeing individuals' rights being denied, being questioned, being ridiculed, being threatened. From Jews and the attack on temples, our transgendered friends and relatives being not only threatened but killed, our friends and relatives, people of color, whose rights and histories are being actively denied, we need to be there for them. And on July 24th, weeks ago, the Community Unitarian Universalist Church of Plano was firebombed and damaged by an anti-LGBTQ YouTuber after posting that it was pagan and satanic on his site. We must be the people who speak up. We have that in our past. As Unitarian Universalists, we pride ourselves in giving service to others. We have a history of speaking up, of not being important to ourselves, but for others. We have been identified as Unitarians mainly from William Ellery Channing's sermon at the ordination of Reverend Jared Sparks in 1819. There he first publicly identified us as Unitarian Christians. In this sermon, he also described the Bible as, quote, a book written for men, in the language of men, whose meaning is to be sought in the same manner as that of other books, unquote. In 1819, he went on to say, quote, if reason be so dreadfully darkened by the fall that its most decisive judgments on religion are unworthy of trust, then Christianity and even natural theology must be abandoned, for the existence and veracity of God and the divine original of Christianity are conclusions of reason and must stand or fall with it, unquote. He introduced reason into theology. There began the separation somewhat of what the Transylvanians believe and what American Unitarian Universalists believe. We are a very lucky community. I'm fairly new here and just now learning about this congregation's history. And I don't know if anyone here has ever traveled to Transylvania. I know that there are UU congregations who have partner churches in Transylvania, and I've seen a deep connection between these. I'm Facebook friends with some of the ministers I visited in Transylvania and receive their Facebook posts periodically. They send me pictures and I send them. But nothing compares to a face-to-face visit. To walk the paths that others have walked is a sacred opportunity. To visit those cousins of ours in another land and to show them in our eyes that we care what happens to them, that we honor what their history has brought to us, that we are a brick with them in the endless wall that is something we cannot ignore. They honor us. They can't afford to come visit us. So it's our obligation to go visit them if we can afford it. I can attest that this is indeed a privilege, that it is an honor to be able to visit a country that has given up so much for us to be where we are today. We can speak up. We can be a brick, be a step, be the unimportant ones. We can be there for those who can't be there for us. Especially in these times when we seem to be seeing so much dishonesty, collusion, prejudice, and downright hatred, we need to speak up. Our faith demands it of us. Our principles show us the way. We've heard them twice today. Oh, and by the way, Unitarians in Transylvania don't use our principles. They rely on their faith that they've professed for the last 450 years. They may be quiet sometimes, but they keep their faith in the forefront of how they are on a daily basis. If we can do that here, we could do great things in this country. Let's not forget our ancestors. In fact, let's intend to find out more about our ancestors, more about how we got where we are today. That can only strengthen our faith, resilience, and spirit of Unitarian Universalism. And we haven't even looked at the other side of our belief system, the Universalists. There is even more to learn at another time. Where there is faith, there is love. Where there is love, there is peace. Where there is peace, there is blessing. Where there is blessing, there is God. Where there is God, there is no need. Those are the words of a Transylvanian Unitarian hymn. May we hold this creed in our hearts as our ancestors and present Transylvanian cousins do. This is our heritage. May it be so. Amen.